In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's say you were watching CNN or Fox News or MSNBC and you saw this report that there was this giant, humongous banana cream pie about 10 miles across, and it weighed 20,000 tons, and it was hurtling through space on a direct course to impact planet Earth. Splat! And the Earth would be thrown out of its orbit by this humongous pie and thrown into the sun, and all life on Earth would come to an end. What would you do if you heard that? Well, some of you might get a spoon and be ready. That's not likely to happen, so don't lose any sleep over it, and don't be, you know, getting a big spoon. But what is likely to happen, and what indeed will happen, is what our Lord Jesus Christ has been speaking of in the last few Sundays of the church year. And that is the return of the coming of the Son of Man in glory to judge both the living and the dead, to gather to himself those who are ready with a lively faith that trust in him alone, and to send into outer darkness those who lack this faith. Now, this is a whole lot more serious than a hypothetical humongous banana cream pie smacking into the earth, because this is going to happen indeed. And indeed, the eternal destiny of billions and billions and trillions of people hinges upon their relationship with Christ Jesus. Whether it is a relationship of faith in him for the forgiveness of sins, or whether it is no relationship at all. Whether it is a coal miner's faith, as Luther would say, that just accepts what is heard in church, but does not cling to it. It is no accident that here, on the next to the last Sunday of the church year, we listen again to Jesus' words of warning about what it will be like when he returns. Jesus says, "The coming in of the kingdom will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and delivered to them, handed over to them his property, that which was his and remains his, because they are to be stewards of his property, not the owners, but stewards, those who are entrusted with his property to use it according to his will." Now, Jesus is the man going on a journey, and the journey Jesus is taking at this point in the gospel, just a day or so before his passion, is his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father. And this journey will be completed when he returns again in glory. So, to one servant, slave, this man gives 5 talents. Don't think of talent as something you can do, as in maybe you have a talent for dealing cards from the bottom of the deck and no one notices. Maybe you have a talent for balancing a ball on the end of your nose or hanging a spoon from your nose. Maybe you have a talent for playing guitar or tap dancing. That's not what is spoken of here. The talent here is a unit of currency, a big unit of currency. It could be up to 20 years' salary. Now, how would you like for someone to hand you 20 years of your salary at one time and say, here, this is mine. I'm entrusting it to you. Do with it according to your ability. Well, one man received 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, again, according to each individual's ability. Now, let's get this straight. We aren't talking about money here either. Jesus has another point to make. Although our use of the money that he gives us is covered by this. For example, our Lord blessed Mount Olive through his servant Catherine Moore with a gift from her estate. What will we do with that gift? That will be a question that we will discuss at an upcoming voters meeting. But anyway, the man goes away, and he who had received the 5 talents went out at once, eager to put these talents to use, and he traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents, he made 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. The first 2 trusted their master. They were going to put the gifts he had given them to work for his purposes. And they knew that they would be rewarded. Not because they had put these gifts to use, but because they knew their master was a good and honest and kind and gracious man. Even if they had failed, even if they had lost the talents, he would have accepted them on account of their faith and trust in him. On the other hand, there was the one servant who describes his master, when it comes time for the accounting, as a hard man. Reaping where he did not sow, gathering where he scattered no seed. I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. 2 servants who trusted their master and wanted to serve him, and 1 servant who was afraid of the master. Are you afraid of Jesus? Well, let's put it like this. You have no cause to be afraid of Jesus if you trust in him, because he loved you. He gave himself for you on the cross. He is the living embodiment of God's love for the world. God's great love that led him to give his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus has taken away your sins. You are forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. All of your sins have been taken away. And on the last day, when Christ returns again, you need not fear. Because you belong to God. You have been purchased by God with the blood of his Son. On the other hand, if you lack faith in Christ, you should be afraid. This parable is a warning. In the servant who is afraid of his master, we see one who lacks faith. We see one who just barely wants to get by. We see one who does not take his master's gift seriously because he is afraid of his master. It's either one or the other. The love and trust in the God who loved you so much he gave you his son, or fear of God, fear of condemnation, or indifference to the great sacrifice of Christ. Now let's talk about these talents in reference to the Holy Christian Church, because this is a parable about the church. The talents that our Master has given this church and the entire church for us to be stewards of, for us to use, are none other than the gospel itself, the means of grace, holy baptism, absolution, proclamation of the gospel, the Lord's Supper. These are the gifts through which Christ builds us up in the faith and through which he builds the church, through which he will build this congregation as he sees fit, and through which he will enable this congregation to stay alive. How are we to use these talents? Faithfully, joyfully, lovingly, with concern for one another, with concern for those outside the church. We want to use these talents so that others will be brought into the kingdom of God. We are called to use these talents for the benefit of those inside the kingdom, but also for the benefit of those outside the kingdom, that they might come in. The church exists for the sake of the gospel and through the gospel. This congregation exists for the sake of the gospel and through the gospel. Everything we have in this congregation, physical property, whatever, exists for the sake of the gospel. The gospel does not exist for this congregation's property. The gospel exists, the gospel is present for human beings, for sinners created in the image of God who have gone astray from God and who need to be gathered in. And we are called by God, even though we're a relatively small congregation, and there are a lot of congregations smaller than Mount Olive, we are called by God to be faithful in the use of the talent he has given us. And again, we aren't talking about money here. We're talking about the gifts of the gospel. But we are to use those gifts along with everything God gives this congregation for the sake of the gospel and for the benefit of others. So after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me, you handed over." And that word "delivered" is an important word in the Greek, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "I delivered to you that which I myself had delivered to me, that Christ was crucified, that he was raised again on the 3rd day. The gospel has been delivered to us. We are to deliver it to others. And we are to account on that last day for our stewardship of the gifts God has given. So, master, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into heaven. You had faith in me. You trusted me. You put what I gave you to work. And you knew that no matter what resulted, I would receive you and welcome you and give you praise. Again, it's the Lord who adds to the church, not us. It's the Holy Spirit working through the gospel that does it. And we work faithfully, leaving the results of our work to God, because that's His business. Our call is to be faithful in what He gives us to do. Same thing with the 2 talents. He made 2 talents more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But the man with the 1 talent showed his fear. He showed his lack of faith. He believed God was his master was a hard man, and so to him, his master showed himself to be a hard man. And so it is with those who think God is a hard man. So it is who think that God cannot provide for this congregation's needs. And so that we must hold on to everything we get, rather than use it for the sake of the gospel. To everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. We are a talented congregation. God has given this congregation the gifts of the gospel. You are a talented people. God has blessed you with the gifts of the gospel. Do not take those gifts for granted. Make use of them. Come to the sacrament of the altar today, knowing that then, as you partake of Christ's body and blood, you are using the talent God has given this church, that particular talent, for your benefit. Tell others of what God gives to His people here in this congregation. You are putting the talents God has given this church to work by doing so. Come faithfully to hear the word. Listen to the word. It's not merely just to preach just to fill empty air. It's preached to fill your ears with the goodness and grace of God in Christ Jesus, and to penetrate your heart and mind, and to transform you as a new creation in Christ. One who thinks not only of him or herself, one who thinks not only of this congregation, but one who thinks of your neighbor and your neighbor's benefit, and one who thinks of a lost and dying world of sinners out there who need the gospel. God has blessed us. God has given us talents in this congregation. Let us use them for God's purposes, because to everyone who has will more be given, and we will see that more when we enter the fullness of the kingdom, when Christ who comes again, and we will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has, everything he thinks he has will be taken away. So it is with our earthly lives, our earthly property, all the things we take delight in this world, the things by which we measure our worth, they'll be taken away from us. You can't take it with you, they say, but not the gospel. The gospel of salvation is forever. So, dear friends, let that be your treasure. Let that be your delight and joy. Let that be to which you cling. And let that be what is most central in the life of this congregation: Christ, His Word, His sacraments, given to us that we might be saved, given to us that we might use them for the benefit of others, to bring them into His kingdom, that they might enjoy life everlasting with the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.